Make a resolution this year?
Yeah.
You know, I made a resolution this year. My resolution is to be a better father and a better husband this year. You know, and I would desire that you guys would just stop and think about what could you do this year that would draw you closer to the Lord. You know, the days that we live in are interesting days. The world's changing around us every moment. And what are we? Are we part of the solution? Or are we on the fence? And so I resolved to be a better father and a better husband. And I think because of that, I'll be a better pastor. And so, guys, resolve. Resolve to allow the Lord to use you. Amen?
Amen.
Good. All right. It's good to be in the Word. Well, we're going to be in the book of James. So if you would open up to the book of James, chapter 1. Warren Wiersbe once said that weaning leads to maturity. I have to wean myself from one thing to grow in another thing. I have to wean myself in one area of my life to grow in another area of my life. And I've been looking at this, and I recognize I am both a child of God and yet a son of Adam. But yet, in Christ, my true man, in Christ, my inner being, my inner man is complete. He is whole, and he lacks nothing. I am chosen, called, and appointed, and I am at peace as well as abiding in the peace of God. I am redeemed and justified, delivered and forgiven. I am blameless and free from accusation. I am joint heir with Christ as well as having the mind of Christ, born of, filled with, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. I am loved, and I am free. And in that love, there's no fear or threat. There's no worry nor want. I am holy and I am completely His. And so are you if you're in Christ. You're a child of God. It is the carnal man, however, the old man, the son of Adam, who dwells in pride and self-esteem. He is confused and he's crazy. He brings disorder and disgrace. He is at enmity with the Spirit, and he is a lover of this world. And that is the man I need to wean myself from as I grow in the maturity of Christ. Yet Scripture tells me this carnal man has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives within me, the life that I live in the flesh. I live in faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I must wean myself from the world and grow to the maturity, to the stature of Christ. The author of Hebrews in chapter 5, he talks about this growing process. And he says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And then he goes on to say, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, or literally to maturity. Saving grace is of great importance. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. God gave us this gift in Christ that we would be saved in His forever. And yet Christ didn't save me the way that I am to leave me the way that I am. I must grow. And James, the brother of Jesus, who denied Christ, who didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah until after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, after the ascension, and finally something changed in his life. And he would say things like, faith without works is dead. Like Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So James takes this a step farther. Saving grace is wonderful. Maturing grace doesn't leave that, it builds upon that to display faith with action and with works. The book of James begins from this platform of already being saved, already serving, already savoring my relationship with the Father, yet ready to grow deeper still. I resolve to be a better father and a better husband, a better disciple of my Lord. I resolve that. I resolve to do those things. In the first 8 verses of James, we learned 4 key principles of finding joy in trials. We looked at counting, knowing, letting, and asking. We moved on in verses 9 through 11. We saw how the poor and the rich are equal and brothers in Christ. And now, at the remainder of this chapter, we see 4 examples of maturing wisdom. And these are of high importance. If we want to grow, we need to seek wisdom. Proverbs tells us it's the fool that despises wisdom. It's the fool who despises correction. And yet, I need to be corrected. I need to be realigned if I want to walk, if I want to grow. Today, we will look at but one. And this first one comes across in the form of a beatitude. It's broken up in 3 parts. The first part is it's the description. It describes the one who endures. Number 2, it's the definition, defining temptation. And number 3, the direction, redirecting our view of the gift to the giver. And this first example of maturity and wisdom is, blessed is the man who endures. Let's read this. Verse 12 through 18, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those that love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desires have conceived, and it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Amen. This first part here in verse 12, the description describing the one who endures. Blessed. Blessed is the one who endures, or literally, oh, so very happy. Isn't that great? One of the things I love about visiting people is just the laughter and the joy that comes around the table. I went home and I was visiting some people. I went to Oregon and I was visiting some people and they had us over for a snack and they said, wow, we knew David was a man of the cloth, but not a man of the tablecloth. That man can throw down. But the joy around the table and the life was wonderful. I also resolved to exercise, by the way. Blessed, oh so very happy, is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Enduring temptation doesn't save anybody, but it's rewarded. It's rewarded. However, the enduring must be motivated not upon the reward, but upon love. You receive the crown of life that the Lord promises to those who love him. In John 14, Jesus would say, if you love me, you will do my commandments. You'll obey my commandments. Because one loves, one endures. This blessing is being rewarded for finishing with pure motives. It's a twofold blessing. It's finishing well. Many start, few finish, and fewer still finish well. Few finish with pure motives, a pure, undefiled motive. If it was easy, everyone would finish well. Endure. Blessed is the man who endures. That word is hupomeno. It means to abide under. Not like the homeless man that lives under a bridge, but like the bridge that abides under the weight of the traffic. The definition literally means to preserve under misfortune and trials, to endure and bear bravely, calmly, with hope or cheerfulness. That's what this endurance means. I can remember being in high school and wrestling, and before the match, you'd look at the opponent on the other side of the gym, and you'd kind of give him, I see you, look, and you would rally yourself up to a frenzy, and sometimes you would even bring up anger to be a force to be reckoned with. And you know, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It's to endure well, to endure hopefully and cheerfully. It's the joy of the Lord that is my strength. I can't evoke wrath or anger to move mountains, but it's the love of the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord that's going to cause me to endure. So saying that, I have a few questions for you as we just look at those who have not endured. Why do people quit their jobs? They didn't endure. They weren't satisfied with the pay, or that boss yelled at me too much, said I was short. Why do best friends break off relationships of years of being together? They were offended by something. Two ladies showed up at the same party wearing the same dress, completely removed. Why do couples get divorced? I can't live another day with that individual. Why do people leave the church? They offended me. Why do people walk away from God? He doesn't listen to me. Why do we have that phrase, when the going gets tough, the tough get going? Not in this house. When the going gets tough, the people endure. The tough look to the Lord for strength. They remember who they are in Christ. They're at peace. They are complete. They're not anxious. They're at rest in the Father. If it was easy, everyone would do it. It is tough. I am at peace, and I am abiding in the peace of my Father. Endurance does not come without exercise. It can't be bought. It can't be given. It must be built upon experience and exercise. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I know what that looks like. And then the exercise to prepare to go back again. Exercise, experience brings endurance. You can watch a video about exercise all day long, but if you don't practice it, you won't be healthy. Paul talks about trials and tribulations, and Paul says, we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, endurance. I'm buffeted. So this first section here, the description, he would say, blessed is the one who's motivated by love because it strengthens him to endure. Let love be your motivation. In verses 13 through 16, the second part of this is the definition. We want to define temptation. What does that look like? And he says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. But when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Temptation, periazo, temptation. It literally means to try, to test for the purpose of ascertaining quantity or quality. How much can one bear? How strong is their character? Periazo, it's a test. It's a trial. And I think of Adam and God in the garden, and man and woman, they blow it, and they find that they are not wearing any clothes. And they hear the Lord coming, and they're afraid, and they hide themselves. And so God calls, "Where are you?" As if he doesn't know. And he said, "I was afraid because I was naked." And then God asks the other question, "Who told you you were naked?" And it's not that God doesn't know, but God asks questions that we would answer them and hear that answer and come to a conclusion. We would confess what's going on. "I am naked because I can see that I'm naked. My eyes have been opened." This trial isn't necessarily for God to go, "Oh, that's how much David can handle." The trial is for David to recognize how much David cannot handle. That's what it is for. To recognize God's strength and God's character, God's faithfulness in every situation, and to compare that with my obedience, my willingness, and my surrender. I compare my surrender with his faithfulness, my willingness to his character, and my obedience to his strength. That's what the trial's for. It's for me, and it's for you. That you would run the race that's set before you. Your race is different than mine, and yet God has placed a race that's wonderful for you. And you will succeed in its time. God is not tempted by evil, or literally tempted to do evil. God's complete. He's whole. He's holy. God's not a balanced God. There's no feng shui with God. There's not this equal force of good balanced by evil. He's all good. The word says he's light and the father of lights. With him, there's no variation or shadow of turning. He's on. He's good forever and ever. That's our God. That's who he is. You know, I was listening to Skip Heitzig this week. Anybody listen to Skip Heitzig? Good. These guys get an extra brownie at the end of the day. He says, "My prayer life is totally in proportion to three things. How I evaluate God, how I look at and evaluate prayer, and how I evaluate the need. If the need isn't that bad, I may or may not pray. If I go to somebody's house to eat, I'm probably going to pray before and after dinner. If, I'm joking, if my view of prayer is small and I'm just speaking to the wind, I may not pray or put any value in it at all. Or if my value of God is insignificant, my prayer life will just stop." How do you value, how do you picture the Lord, Yahweh? He is holy, he is light, and he's love. He is not tempted by evil. He does not himself tempt anyone, the word says. Yet he does allow trials to run into our life. He allows different agencies to try us. It might be our neighbor. It might even be the enemy. Look at Job. I always thought that was an interesting saying. Boy, she has the patience of Job. I don't know if Job was all that patient. He started well, didn't he? He's blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes, blessed be the name of the Lord. But there are times when he struggled a little bit, and yet he made it, didn't he? He made it. Can I tell you something? You're going to make it. You will make it. He allows these into our life. The Lord allowed the enemy to strike Job, his health, his family, his wealth, all taken from him, but the result was twice the inheritance. I mean, we go, oh, come on, Job. Isn't that what Elisha asked for? What do you want? I want twice the amount of faith that you have, Elijah. I resolved to be a better disciple of my Lord, be a better father and a better husband. In temptations and trials, remember who you are. You're loved of the Father. You're complete. You're not anxious. You're not worried. You're not angered. You see, it's the carnal man who's drawn away by his own desire. It's the carnal man who's confused and anxious and greedy, but not you. He's self-seeking and striving for more, but not the inner man. He's at peace and he's at rest. In your trial, remember who you are. Finally, the direction, verses 17 and 18. Redirecting my view of the gift to the giver reads, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The Lord only has good and perfect gifts for you. That's what he has for you. Oh, don't pray for patience. Boy, if you pray for patience, you're going to have a hard time. It might be that good and perfect gift requires a trial to refine you, that there'd be pure gold, and remove the dross, remove the attitude. It was by his sovereignty that I was born in this country and not in communist China, or I could be born in anywhere. But by his sovereignty, we are where we are and we are who we are by his grace. We should be thankful for what we have, yes? I mean, we celebrate Thanksgiving, we talked about thankfulness, but should we not be thankful for what we do not have? You know, we have not because we ask not. And when we ask, at times we ask amiss. But sometimes we have not because the answer is not yet. Because to have it now would not be good nor perfect. I was just praying with a brother today, and he said, the Lord said if I had faith of a mustard seed that I could move mountains, so why am I not healed? I've been praying for this for so long. Do I not have enough faith? And I had to answer with not yet. It's not that you don't have enough faith, but the timing's not there. There's a reason you're going through this. There's still an area in your life that the Lord is working in. Do you remember the four keys? And one was to let patience have its perfect work in you. And that word let means to hold or to own, to possess. And we're to hold on to that. And so many times the trial comes and boy, I want out of that. Lord, give me patience. But right now, own it. Own this time. Own this season. Because it's for your benefit. It's good and it's perfect for its time. What makes this gift good and perfect is not the gift, but the one who gives it. The Father of lights. James didn't use the word Abba here. He chose to use the word pater, which denotes both a male ancestor, but more importantly, it denotes an originator. He is the originator of light. He spoke it into existence. Light being the emblem of knowledge and purity, truth and happiness. He's the originator of that. He's the creator of all that is good, and anything that is good can be traced back to him. He's the origin of light. 1 John tells us that God is light, God is love, and God is life. There's no darkness, no shadow, no variation. He's all light and all life. That's our God. And the gifts that he gives us are good and they're timely. It goes on to say, by his will we were brought forth or begat by his word. We are a type of first fruits. And I thought about that, first fruits. We are a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We're born of the Spirit. We're born again. We're conformed to the image of Christ. All these new things. But just think with me for a second of first fruits. James starts this letter off and he says something like, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And James chose to use the word scattered, which denotes scattering of seed. It's not like broken glass, it's fragmented. I dropped a plate recently, don't tell my wife. And it just scattered and shattered everywhere. And you have to sweep, then you have to vacuum, then you have to get like tape and inside out and get on the floor and get it all up before somebody gets a sliver. That's not the scattered he used. He used as in sowing seed. Why does one sow seed? Anyone? A harvest. To reap a harvest. And here he says we are a type of first fruits. Do you remember what they did with the very first of the harvest, the first of the barley, the first of the olive, the first of the grape went to who? You are dedicated. You're a first fruit unto God. He tells you, you are dedicated to me. You're mine. You're the first. Which also brings to mind that there's a harvest behind me. As the season goes on, he chooses to use you to reach those who don't know him yet. He's chosen to use you. You are the first fruits. I am the first fruits. When desire is conceived, it brings forth sin, which leads to death. But God brought us forth by his word, which leads to life. He chooses to use us. He breathes life into us and says, now go, grow. Blessed is the one who is motivated by love because it strengthens him to endure. In temptations and trials or tribulations, remember who you are. The Lord only has what is good and perfect for us. Blessed is the man who abides. Jesus says, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. James writes this as already to folks already saved, already serving, already saving the relationship to take the next step. To grow in it. And this is what he's asking of you, is to endure, to abide in his love, that you would endure. Resolve to make every motivation be out of love this year. Resolve to recognize that your inner man is at peace. He is not anxious and he is not threatened. Resolve to remember the God that you serve is the Father of lights, the originator, the origin of all things. Let's pray. I thank you, Father, that you would choose a time such as this, that your word would penetrate our life and our heart. I thank you that your Spirit continues to grow within us, that we would be first fruits, recognizing that what you've begun, you will complete. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in each individual life that's here, as well as corporately as a body, as we recognize our need for one another to encourage and to build up, that we would bear one another, we would love one another, that we would share with one another. And to the church, may the love of the Lord enable you to endure the pulls of this world. May he bring strength to your inner man, giving you peace and resolve. May you recognize that every good and perfect gift is good because of him, the creator, the originator, the author and finisher, the sustainer, Jesus Christ the Lord, the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you, Lord, for today. May we shine brightly for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship the King.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.